Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome.
Song worth singing.
I can too.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan.
Change it.
Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, you know that our call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And please remember to dial 1 on your phone pad. Press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. And if you join us on a regular basis, you know the slogan for our show. If it's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. And today we don't have a guest, but we do have a very, very exciting topic that we'll be sharing and discussing with our listening audience. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, you know that this show is brought to you every week by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC, which is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African American solar installation companies. To address the economic effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize Black-owned farmland, HBCU campuses to develop capacity for solar installation initiatives to bring down the unemployment of our young Black millennials and Z population across the U.S. nationally. Also, to educate the Black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts on climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black community through Black talk radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. The show is also sponsored by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF, HBCU Solar Talk Show Initiative, and you can get more information on that initiative by logging on to our website at Positive Change, P-O-S-I-T-I-V-E, C-H-A-N-G-E, P as in Paul, C as in cat.com. That's PositiveChangePC.com. That's once again PositiveChangePC.com. And you can click on our GoFundMe link and you will be able to see a executive summary and project rationale for the platform that you are presently listening to on the airways of Blog Talk Radio, coming to you live from your nation's capital, We are also sponsored by Skyton Communications Network, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production, online and traditional, newspaper production, online and traditional, speech writing, book writing, editing and publishing, and speaker bureau management. The contact information is ScottonCommunicationsNetwork.com. That's Scotton, Scotton, CommunicationsNetwork.com. And that contact person is Dr. Gwendolyn Scotton-Bethea. And once again, today's day, as we've indicated at the top of our show, is 23rd, 2016. And as we indicated, we have a very, very exciting topic for you today. We'll be reviewing and looking at Pepco's revised electric vehicle program here for the in the nation's capital, here in Washington, D.C. And we'll be looking at the proposed cost of the program, total program cost, itemized program cost, investment in infrastructure, forecasted budget, costs of other utility and electric vehicle programs, and the bottom line, who's going to pay for all this? Because if you live in Washington, D.C., and as we have beat the drum numerous times, we've talked about Washington, D.C., 2016 Renewable Portfolio Act, which was passed by the D.C. Council and signed off by Mayor Bowser, Mario Bowser here, which is the mayor of the nation's capital, which gives Washington, D.C. some of the highest renewable portfolio standards in the country outside of the state of California, and just a few other states have a 50% renewable portfolio standard, which was passed in 2016. And in doing so, it has created what we would call a good and bad situation as it relates to opportunity in this renewable energy industry. Of course, we have this has been broken down and defined very, very clearly by Dr. Gary L. Harris, Ph.D., and head of the Dean of the Graduate Studies at Howard University. In July 2016, Mayor Bowser signed an initial Renewable Portfolio Standards Expansion Act of 2016. Under the act, D.C. must provide 50% of its electricity from renewable energy by the year 2032. And solar requirements for solar is now 5%. If the utility companies can't meet these standards, a penalty of $500 per megawatt hour is assessed and passed on to the consumer via the alternative compliance fee. This penalty is commonly called the solar energy credit, or SERCS. D.C. customers paid over, in 2016, $15 million extra because of the shortfall based on solar lack of facility in the District of Columbia. Now, this was a very, very, very interesting piece that meeting that we were attending on yesterday at the offices here in Washington, D.C. at Pepco, because we, in fact, had an opportunity to, in fact, gather information on the electric transportation program in the District of Columbia. And this was particular workshop was called Workshop Number 2. Now, total cost for program costs, program components, fleet camera units for residential customers with existing EVSC offerings. This word offering means that these are future opportunities that will be announced by the Department of Energy and Environment and Pepco, and it will be put out to the for those solar installation companies and contractors that are interested in submitting proposals to win these particular contracts. So you will have one offering on this, and this will be for 150 units at a cost of $244,000 per unit for the purchase and installation of these particular units. There will be 150 installed here in the nation's capital. Residential smart level 2 charges, there will be 2 offerings with 50 units that will be installed citywide at a cost of $250,000 per unit. A $500 rebate for residential smart level 2 EBS offerings, there will be 3. These will be 500 units that will be put out, installed in the district at a cost of $250,000 each. Multi-unit dwelling smart level 2 EV charging stations, and these are which we know are charging locations that will be made available in the district for people who have electric vehicles to, in fact, be able to charge one's vehicle. But part of the meeting went on yesterday at Pepco. It was very, very, very clear that they were searching for recommendations and different responses. And my question to them, I will get to a little later on in our show today, because I said we want to follow this format and provide as much information as we possibly can, because every week we definitely on this show try to bring news that you can definitely use. As after all, this show is called Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And believe me, this electric charging station infrastructure will have an impact if you are a D.C. or Maryland resident here in the DMV market area. Residential whole house TOU offerings, there will be 5, and it says unlimited, so I don't know what is meant by here. Then you have public smart level 2 EV charges. Offerings will be 60 of 6, therefore 50 units to be installed at a cost of about $875,000. DC fast charges, there will be 7 offerings for 20 units to be installed at a cost of $2,200,000. Public EV bus, fleet, taxi, rideshare, discounted off-peak rates, 9 offerings, unlimited. Innovation offering, they have had no money. Therefore, on that line item, technology demonstrations offerings will be 11. They have approximately to be announced. You have a $2 million budget for that, for this. Other costs, billing will be $50,000. Customer education and outreach, which I was very much concerned about, will be $2,700,000. Now, I want to put a plug in that issue. Right there, if you're talking about spending $2,700,000, it's very, very, very clear to me as the creator and person who brings this show to you every week on this platform, Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact, is very, very clear to me that we should be able to get more of these dollars targeted to advertise in the Black community for educational purposes. This particular show, as I've indicated time and time again, if you beating our own drum, because nobody else is going to beat our drum, and if you want to be in a parade, I guess in today's world, you got to create your own music. So that's what we do. Every week, we bring this show to you live. And as I said, this show, we have had interviews with representatives from the private, public, and nonprofit sector, informing our listeners about the benefits of installing solar panels in every subject matter of economic interest surrounding solar and the renewable energy industry. We have discussed the important roles Black Americans play in their everyday jobs in the solar and renewable energy industry. Which brings me to yesterday's meeting, which was chaired by a young African-American lady. I had the opportunity of meeting a Miss Nikki Hall, Director of Regulatory and Strategy Services for Pepco Holdings. And the young lady, I met a gentleman, Mr. Culpepper, who's the Public Affairs Director for Pepco Regional District Offices. And we all, and as we broke and we sort of talked about the actual lack of involvement in the African American community, but the African American community, we're the ones who end up actually paying for these programs. And we just talked about a little about the building expenditures, and we're going to get more into breaking down what Pepco proposes to provide participants with a one-time initiation credit of $50, a $50 credit for each month that the unit is plugged in and active, and the additional credit for off-peak charging. The off-peak charging credit will be added to the monthly bill at a $5 credit. This offering is offered open to all residential customers on a first-come, first-served basis, not to exceed 150 units of the feet CARMA devices, regardless of the customer's suppliers or third party, 20% dedicated to customers living in disadvantaged communities. Now, as we indicated, this program component, you have 150 of these feet charging units at a cost of about $244,650. Costs, billing, program management for this particular units will be about $30,000. System interface and updates, rewarding, and credit processing, you're talking about $248,000. And for the camera fleets, you're talking about $135,000. A subtotal cost of $413,000, total estimated cost $657,650. Pepco will work with DOEOPC and other stakeholders to develop a working definition. See DOEE's website, the district draft spending plan for Volkswagen settlement funds, draft beneficiary mitigation plan. California defines disadvantaged communities as areas throughout California with the most suffer from the combination of economic, health, and environmental burdens. These burdens include poverty, high unemployment, health conditions like asthma and heart disease, as well as water pollution, hazardous waste. This is a definition which has been taken from California because they have been the leader in the quote-unquote electric vehicle revolution that is taking place in the U.S. as we speak. And we're going to get more back into this, but we're going to go back and look at this issue of engagement and how they plan to engage the Black community. And as we have said here, we've had guests to include Black American owners of solar companies on this show, such as Gilbert Campbell, co-founder and managing partner for Vote Energy. head of the Department of Energy and Environment, Washington, D.C., Tommy Wells, both federal, state, city, local, and federal private sector and nonprofit policymakers have come on the airways of this show, Solar Now and the Future. We've also invited the president of the founder of the Green for All team, Van Jones, who is a Black American Yale-educated attorney and CNN political commentator. He authored two of New York's best-selling books, The Green Economy of 2008 and Rebuild the Dream of 2012. The second book chronicles his journey as an environmental and human rights activist to becoming a White House policy advisor under former President Barack Hussein Obama. He was the main advocate for the Green Jobs Act signed into law by George Bush in 2007. The Green Jobs Act was the first piece of federal legislation to codify the term green jobs. During Obama's administration, this resulted in $500 million nationally for funding for green job training. The show has also served as a local, national, and international discussions about environmental education and renewable energy projects and initiatives to educate the Black community and the communities of color nationwide that are and have historically been beset by human and civil rights violations, including the disproportionate exposure to pollution, crimes, substandard living conditions, and more. The NAACP Environmental Justice Legal Defense Fund published a report stating African Americans who reside near energy production facilities, including coal-fired plants, nuclear plants, biomass plants, are more likely to suffer the negative effects and impacts of prolonged exposure to smog, lead, asbestos, mercury, arsenic, sulfur dioxide, nitrogen dioxide, and toxins than any other group of Americans. Prolonged exposure to these toxins and these energy production facilities is tied to birth defects, heart disease, asthma attacks, lung disease, learning disabilities, and even lower property values. Approximately 68% of the African Americans live within a 30-mile radius of coal-fired plants, produces the largest portion of energy compared to other energy production types. Our goal is to make the economic impact of climate change and solar energy and other forms of renewable energy a major conversation in the Black community to increase environmental public awareness and knowledge about environment initiatives such as the Washington, D.C. New Solar for All Energy Initiative, which increases the conversation around these issues, the need for environmental and renewable energy education in Black community. Okay, now, we sort of looked at the definition and the foundation of this platform. And it would seem to me, and we will be submitting proposals to PEPCO for funding to take this show to the next level, because we must have this show syndicated on one of our national Black radio broadcast networks. And we have been in contact, of course, with Ms. Kathy Hughes' Urban Radio Network, known as Radio One. We have received some advertising rates at $400 per hour, and we must negotiate a better time slot than the proposed time that was offered when we originally contacted them. So these are some futuristic things, but looking down the road, when we look at the fact that you're talking about community engagement with this particular initiative coming out on these electric vehicles, and you're talking about spending for consumer education and outreach some $2,700,000, there must clearly be some opportunities for this show to be able to expand to the African-American listening audience that we have tried to build here on this platform of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Now, getting back to the nuts and bolts of residential smart level 2 electric vehicles charging stations, you're looking at 50 residential smart level 2 stations which have been proposed at a cost of $250,000. Other costs will be building at $10,000, program management $96,000, system interface and updates $222,500, subtotal $328,500. Total estimated cost, $500,000, $578,050. Offerings, which will be two public offerings, which will be put out for companies to, in fact, submit proposals so that they will be able to win these contracts. So these are opportunities which we are hoping that the Gilbert Camels of Vote Energy, the WDC Solars of headed by Mr. Mark Davis, Mr. Arian Strawn of RS, and Mr. Daryl Green, Hall of Famer with the Bergen and Gold, and his company, which are based here in Washington, D.C., which are four of the 11 African-American solar installation companies doing business in the continental U.S. out of 9,929 companies, according to statistical data put out by the Solar Foundation. Their last report was a data study was put out for the year 2015. So I guess the numbers have either increased or decreased because some people are dropping out of the game when we get to talking about solar installation companies. When we begin to talking about employment opportunities, these are the opportunities because this is a proposal that if you are a D.C. resident and you have an electric bill, gas bill, and water bill in the District of Columbia, you will be paying for it, whether you purchase an electric vehicle or not. So these are very, very important pieces of information that we have gone. And as we said with the slogan of our show, power in numbers, then the positive change corporation captures that power for your financial benefit. It's all about information, having access, knowing, and timing. So as we look at these particular projects, PEPCO will be working with DOEE, as I said, with other stakeholders on this particular projects. The offering of offerings, which will be two, will provide installation up to 50 smart level 2 charging stations for electric vehicles for qualified residential customers on a first come, first served basis. The program will provide and install smart level 2 in home chargers for 50 customers at 50% of the cost. EVs with 50% of its associated installation costs. These qualified customers, 12-month interest-free financing is available for installation costs. 20% will be dedicated for customers living in disadvantaged communities. Now, this is for people who are interested in placing charging stations at their residence. 50 rebates for residential smart level 2 EV charging. There will be three offering opportunities. There will be 500 residential smart level 2 chargers, EVS rebates. The estimated cost of each one of these charging stations will run approximately about $250,000. You said other costs will be program management, which is $25,000 projected. So you're looking at a total estimated cost on for this offering for the residential smart level 2 charging stations estimated cost will be $275,000, with offering three offerings up to 500 residential customers with existing PIVs and install smart level twos will have an option of receiving a maximum rebate of not to exceed 100% of the total charge or installation costs, less any applicable rebates, 20% dedicated to consumers living in disadvantaged communities. Then you have the Monk Smart Level 2 EV charging stations, which will be four offerings, the 100% UD Smart Level EV charging station with an estimated cost of $1,191,000. Billing will be $15,000. Program management will be $93,333. System interface updates will run projected at $445,000 with a estimated total cost of $1,744,000. This offering consists of providing 50% of the cost for EVS for up to 100 smart level 2 EVS electric charging stations for qualified customers who own and operate condominium apartment complexes where dedicated parking can be made available for charging infrastructure where at least three District of Columbia registered electric vehicles reside. The offering will also require a second meter. As a part of the offering, the customer can apply for smart Level 2 EVs at a 50% of the cost of the charger, and the PVI program will pay 100% of the cost to install the charger, not to exceed 100% of the total installation cost, less than any applicable rebates. Once again, 20% of the chargers will be cited for disadvantaged communities. So as we go through this information, which we will cover all this information, you will see that there is a lot of opportunities here for African-American solar installation companies other than just the installation of PV systems on one's commercial, on residential homes and commercials. Now, know personally that Mr. Gilbert Campbell with Vote Energy, they have and have been involved in the installation of electric charging stations. And we'll be definitely reaching out to him to make sure he's aware of this information. I'm quite sure that he probably had someone attending the very first meeting on this, because this is the second workshop that Pepco has held. Now, the next workshop will be held will be June 19th. And it will be held once again at Pepco's headquarters at 701 9th Street, Northwest Washington, D.C. And it'll start around approximately 2 p.m. in the afternoon. And I strongly suggest and recommend that our listening audience who are interested in these business opportunities attend this and get this information because, like I said, information is definitely power, with no question, because if you don't know what's going on, first thing go wrong in the black community, what's happening? When people call each other in our community, first thing come out of their mouth, man, what's happening? Well, this is what's happening. This electric vehicle program will make someone wealthy, and most of the people who were in that room yesterday who were the actual developers did not look like me and you. As we know, we are programmed to have J-O-B-S, jobs. That's what our historically black colleges and universities program our young people to do, to, in fact, go out and beg and ask someone for a job. I have no problem with that. Everybody's not going to go into business. Everybody's not entrepreneur. We understand that. But when you have the majority population struggling to provide jobs for their own people who look like them, who graduate from historically white colleges and universities around this country. And as we look at the unemployment and underemployment numbers of our young millennials and Z population, we've got to get busy trying to create some job opportunities. And the only way you do that is create businesses. And this energy industry is the wave of the future, without question. Now, we're going to try to take a pause for the calls, and we'll be right back. And we're going to sort of shift gears, and we're going to talk about the data sharing, the metrics, and other information, valuable information that we were able to gather by going, attending these meetings.
Life is a song worth singing. I can tell. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing. I got you. Sing it.
Welcome, welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Buffet, and we are coming to you from our nation's capital, broadcasting over the platform of Blog Talk Radio. We are streaming. This show is also being streamed over Twitter, Instagram, and all forms of social media. So also we've been added to the Blog Talk Speakers Bureau. So this information is getting out to those who choose to get information, which we call news that you can definitely use. Now, as we were talking about the opportunities in this new electric vehicle program, which is being put forth for public comment and input at Pepco's offices. Now, they're proposing 50 public neighborhood smart level 2 charging stations. There will be 6 offerings. The 50 public smart charging level 2 stations with a projected cost of $875,000. The 6 offerings will consist of installation up to 50 smart level 2 chargers. This collaborative effort will support Council Shay's initiative to install 15 public chargers in addition to 35 EVSE preferred by Pepco. The company will examine the density of PVI ownership, which is private electric vehicle ownership, the locations of the various major roadways and other pertinent characteristics in order to determine locations that will provide maximum opportunity for use and convenience for PVI users within the neighborhood. The equipment will be owned and maintained by Pepco and will provide electricity through 100% renewable energy sources. Revenue received from the use of the chargers will be used to offset costs of the chargers. 20% of the chargers will be cited for disadvantaged communities. Now, I have an issue with that. I think that these chargers should be made available for private investment, and specifically those who are in the African American community that have the resources, that are interested in getting to the in this game, they should be able to pay, purchase, and install these charging stations. Because one thing for sure, it's known as 295. It runs north and south. We know it here in the District of Columbia as Kenilworth Avenue. It runs through the heart of Ward 8 and 7, and you can't move that. The question that I raised yesterday is how many of these proposed stations are east of the river? Right now, they have none. So we're talking about some futuristic things that will be coming in the future. So these are opportunities that will be coming. It's not here yet, but you have to get the information, and you got to be moving now because people are submitting applications with the Department of Transportation. D.C.'s Department of Transportation, the Federal Department of Transportation. In our side conversations yesterday, and as well as in the meeting, they're going to be, D.C. is going to be providing electric charging stations for 95, which runs through the District of Columbia. So we know that when you enter the District of Columbia, you are coming to where? The nation's capital, and you have one of the largest generators of income for the city of Washington, D.C., is tourism. And we know that the tourists who come to this town, a lot of them will be purchasing and driving electric vehicles. And being that it is the nation's capital, that's why you have some of the highest renewable portfolio standards in the country. And this is not necessarily being driven by interest in the black community, but this is being driven by interest in the white community and the new residents who are moving into the District of Columbia. That is what the bike paths are about. We've been here for a long time. There's nothing new about the African-American community in the District of Columbia. Black folks have been here since the inception of the city. Quite as a tip, a black man, Benjamin Banneker, he designed Washington, D.C. What that has to do with the price of tea in China today, I say nothing. But I do say that presently and in the past, we have a rich investment in human capital, sweat and tears in this town to make it what it is. But when it comes down to cutting up the economic pie, when we look at the real realities of where we are in this city, our nation's capital, when he talks about opportunities for black folks in this energy arena, as a little boy said, it's slim to none. Now, you're looking at DC fast chargers. You're talking about level one chargers. They're more expensive. They're going to be 7 offerings. You're looking at 20 of these fast chargers being deployed in the district at a cost of $2,200,000. Other costs, billing will be $5,000, program management projected $10,000, system interface $89,000, subtotal $104,000, total estimated cost $2,304,000. The 7 offerings consist of the installations of up to 20 DCF along with the main transportation corridor cited by Pepco's District of Columbia service territory. The 2 DCFCs will be strategically located in each of the 8 wards, along with 1 DCF located in each quadrant to support charging for EV bus taxis and shared riding. The equipment will be owned, maintained, once again, by Pepco. And I'm trying to understand why Pepco got to maintain and own this when you, as residents who have pay water, gas, and electric bills to Pepco already, you're already being hit with these fees, and this is where the money's going to come from. The ratepayers are going to, in fact, pay for this. So the question becomes, why does Pepco have to own the systems? That's why you have to go to these information meetings, get this information, and bring it back to our listening audience, our community. Now, workspace level 2 EBSSC offerings, there will be 8 offerings. Program components, 50 workplace smart level 2 EBS charging stations at a cost of about $600,000. Billing, $5,000. Program management, $93,033. System interface and updates, $222,050. Subtotal, $320,000. Total estimated cost, $929,300. The offer will provide 50% of the cost of EBSEs for up to 50 smart level EBSSEs for qualified customers who own or operate office buildings and garages where dedicated parking can be in the infrastructure. The offering will also require a second meter. As part of the offering, the customers can apply for Smart Level 2 EBSEs at 50% of the cost for the charger, and PVIB program will pay 100% of cost to install the charger. 20% of the charges will be cited for disadvantaged and low-end communities. Once again, these are opportunities. If you are a solar installation company, you want to be looking into this. Public EV bus fleet taxi shared ride and discount off-peak rate offering. Public EV bus discounted off-peak rates, they have his zero. Cost billing, $5,000. System interface. Every day people get on the bus, don't they pay the fare? Why Metro get off? Why they get a free ride? Offering 9 permits applicable to customers who have the sole purpose of charging an EV bus, taxi ride, shared transportation option for receiving discounted rates. Now, I know a little something about the taxi cab and limousine industry here in Washington, D.C., because I spent about 44 years in the industry as an independent owner-operator of both my own private taxi as well as having a sedan at one point in time and doing limo work for over 20 years in this city. When we begin to look at this electric vehicle revolution and the impact that it's going to have on changing the carbon emissions, which is the largest contributor to climate change, and we do know the economic effects of that. And if you don't, you can log on to our website at positivechangepc.com. You can log on to positivechangepc.com. Please scroll down, and if you would please click on the video with Dr. Wright. It's called The Politics of Disaster Recovery, Katrina, Where Did the Money Go? Video. Let's make it plain. Where did the money go? Video. And we'll be asking the same thing about where did the money go for this program that Pepco has put its offering. If we don't get on the ball and more folks take the time to get down to this June 19, 2018 meeting at Pepco and get this information. Now, we talked about what they're talking about making available for taxi cabs and bus fleets around the city. But to have an industry which will not allow taxicab companies, limousine companies, cab drivers, and limousine drivers who own their own individual vehicles to be able to lease, use commercial lease contracts to purchase these new electric vehicles, because just like they put pressure on the taxi cab industry to get wheelchair accessible taxi cabs in the city of Washington, D.C., and I know something about that because I wrote the first proposal for the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission, and we actually got the program started here, even though we got cut out of the, as we say, out of the deal. We put many years in service for working on these projects, and we had to walk away with absolutely nothing, because that is what powers to be had in the cards for independent owner operators in this its business, as they call them, public servants under Title 31C. Okay? And when you look at it, it's a travesty, but as I was talking to a gentleman I've known for years, Ali, which is the owner of one of your larger taxi cab fleets in this country, I said, in Washington, D.C., I said to him yesterday, I said, you know, it's a travesty how the companies got legislated out of business. Now you have over 100,000 people who have use an app every day registered over the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission, and they pay a registration fee. And if you will reach out and do a little research and find out what your local Uber driver is paying to the Taxi Cab Commission, they got a whole new name that they changed it up, but it's the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission to me. Okay? Now, this will bring some light on what has happened and shift in transportation in the District of Columbia. Well, just like you see the fast effects of the public thinking that they're getting something for nothing with Uber, well, we got cheap rides, we got this, we got that. Well, gasoline didn't go down. The cost of the vehicle didn't go down. The ability for one to make a living and to actually take care and raise one's family from driving a limousine in the taxi in the District of Columbia is no longer possible, because this industry has been, for all purposes, legislated out of business. But people will say, oh, it's competition. Well, when Microsoft can put $500,000, $500 million, not a half a million, but $500 million behind a company, and when people buy an Android smartphone, you get the Uber app is already in the phone, I don't consider that being fair competition. That's just my humble opinion. But to each his own. And people will say, well, what does that have to do with this show today talking about electric vehicles and charging stations in the District of Columbia? What I'm saying to you, genius, the same paradigm shift will take place if you own a gas station in the District of Columbia, if you own a parts store in the District of Columbia, auto parts store, because electric vehicles don't have engines. Now, it was made clear yesterday that you only have approximately about 700 D.C. residents with electric vehicles. So this proposed spending for the technology, which they're proposing 11 offers for the technology and demonstration, is $2 million. The 11 offerings will seek to establish PEPCO's sponsorship program that will include integration of microgrid technologies into a community cluster of DCFCS roaming, pop-up, showroom, mobile bus, curbside demos that showcase vehicle costs, programs and technologies and supporting STEM education that focuses on mass EV transportation within the District of Columbia. PEPCO proposes to recover its costs from the Manassas sub-account, which you are paying for that already. This is what I read to you about the Renewable Portfolio Fund, and all of this comes under this caption. So D.C. ratepayers and consumers will be paying for this system, whether you got an electric bicycle, tricycle, or car. Let's make this plain, because that's what we try to do on this show. We try to bring news that you can definitely use. Now, the consumer education and outreach is supposed to be spending $2,700,000 public education programs. I think this is a public education program that you're listening to if you're listening to Blog Talk Radio and to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. I don't know any place else you can go and get this information that I'm providing you at the present time. But if you feel that this is information that needs to be passed on and shared, then you pass the word. You can log on to positivechangepc.com. That's positivechangepc.com. And for our listening audience, you know the call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And you will be able to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number, because you'll be in our green room and we will bring you on the airways to see if any of this information we are sharing with you today is information that you can definitely use. As we said, now looking at under the consumer education and outreach, they're talking about technical assistance, trainer and trainer with community-based organization, workshops, tests, rides, pop-ups, and events. See, if what Black advertising agencies, what Black radio networks, what Black newspapers, how much of this money will be spent with our Black media around this issue? Now, I raised this issue yesterday at the meeting at PEPCO, and I got a lukewarm response. And one of the young ladies that was chairing the meeting, she sort of took the liberty to tell me I need to go to see Mendelsohn to see if he'll put aside a set-aside, because PEPCO has been offered, been offered to put a set-asides for the Black community, a lower or moderate income communities, because it's not just the Black community, but low to moderate income communities, because we want to keep it what we call political on this show. But what I'm saying to you is this. That's not my job. My job is what I did yesterday and what I'm doing today. We are an advocate. We just don't talk it, we walk it, because we're out in the community, and we also advocate for the Solar for All program and a number of programs, anything that we see that will be beneficial to low and moderate income communities. And I don't even live in the district any longer. Unfortunately, I'm in Ward 9. If you are familiar with the DMV market area, Ward 9 is called Prince George's County. Let's make it plain. It's an inside joke that's not funny. But we do what we have to do here on the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. So we're going to see how this plays out. You're talking about $2,700,000 in so-called community outreach. I call it community engagement. Workforce development, they're proposing $1 million be spent for training and careers. Well, as I shared with the listening audience, not the listening audience, with the folks at Pepco, that you have the Four Walls Center, which is located in Northeast Washington, D.C. It's located at 1125 Neal Street Northeast. And if you're a D.C. resident, you can go and you can take HV, electrical wiring, stationary steam engineering, plumbing, and get your GED free. F-R-E-E. The only thing you got to buy is your books. Now, you can log on to the www.fourwalls.org. That's fourwalls.org. That phone number is 202-332-8022. And that's Monday through Thursday. And they have their hours run from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for the morning session. And the evening hours run from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. So they have broken this thing down to make it available for people's schedules. Now, they're offering this, and this is being funded through the Department of Employment Services. So there are programs out here, and we definitely need to be getting our people up to speed on these particular programs, because when you begin to talk about $1 million, it sounds like a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money when you talk about training, workforce development training. So as we look at the opportunities that will be afforded by this electrical vehicle program proposed by Pepco, it's very, very clear that there is going to be opportunities that will be made available through this proposed investment in charging infrastructure in the market. You have, they've got a chart here, they've broken it down, 2.2 million for public fast charging. This is what they're projecting. For residential, $744,650. Workplace, $599,050. For public charging, $875,000. And for MUDS, $1.9 million. That is broken down in their projected budget, forecast budget. And when we look at this whole this total piece and the charging stations, the scope, budget, market, disadvantaged communities, charger ownership, and there are a number of these metrics and reporting data. Pepco proposes to provide metric reports and on a quarterly basis to make available status updates regarding the electrical transportation program to the commission, and I think that will be the Public Service Commission, and interested stakeholders. Pepco proposes to report data regarding program costs, customer enrollment, customer education, outreach, supplier diversity, load patterns, customer behavior. These reports will inform future commission policy and help guide design future utility transportation and for electrification programs here in the District of Columbia. Now, we have covered a lot of information, and we had originally programmed this our show for an hour and a half today, but we weren't able to get Mr. Gerard, the gentleman's last name, Greer, to be on our show today. So we're going to be bringing him on to talk about this C-PACE program. We touched on this program last week. If you were listening to our show, we talked about New Columbia Solar. And in doing so, talking about their program, the gentleman is Mr. Gerard Neely, and he's with the Maryland CPAP program. And we reached out to him to see if we could get him to come on and talk about the CPACE program for financing for anyone who would be a developer or construction company interested in getting into the solar installation industry. You need financing. And this is a unique program which is being provided and offered here in the District of Columbia. And we're going to reach back out to try to get Mr. Neely on this show to talk about that aspect, which was going to be what we're going to discuss in our last 30 minutes of our show. But we're going to sort of shift gears now. I hope that many of you who listen to this show understand that we have quite a bit of other information. We were going to get into the area of dealing with the matrix of the programs from this electric program, and it sort of breaks down consumer enrollment, total plug-in vehicles, type, offering type, and customer types. And whoever put this together, I guess they wanted people to use a magnifying glass to be able to read it. So that's why I'm not getting into, and I've got my reading glasses on. So that's why I'm not going to get into a lot of that information, because in order to read it, you got to see it. I mean, you don't get no basic than that. But anyway, we're going to sort of shift gears here and now on our platform here, Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. And we, as you said, we're going to take a pause for the calls, and we're going to try to get right back after we take another break here. And you remember that this show is brought to you by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative.
Life is a song worth singing. I can tell. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing. I got you. Sing it.
Welcome, welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. And those who join us on a weekly basis, you know our call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. We're going to, as I indicated, we're going to shift gears now. We're going to let our listening audience know you can join us and follow us by logging on to PositiveChangePC.com, PositiveChangePC.com, which brings you this show on a weekly basis. In the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, we are a cooperative, a member-based organization that's to increase market share for African-American solar installation companies, along as we serve as a blueprint for economic self reliance for solar companies, both large and small, to address the economic effects of high energy costs at our historically black colleges and universities, to utilize African-American-owned farmlands, HBCU campuses to develop capacity for solar installation initiatives, to bring down the under and unemployment rate of our young African-American millennial and Z population. Also to educate the black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts on climate change and the need for environmental education in the black community through black talk radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on black America. This show is also sponsored to you by the BSLF, that's the Black Sports Legends Foundation, HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. And as we shared that information with you a little earlier in our program, it's also brought to you by Scott and Communications, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production, online and traditional, newspaper production, online and traditional, speech writing, book writing, editing and publishing, speaker bureau management. And for contact information, that's Scott and Communications Network.com. That's Scotton Communications Network.com. And that contact person is Dr. Gwendolyn Scott and Bethay. Yes, yes, yes. We are looking at our website, and you can join us by logging on to PositiveChangePC.com. That's PositiveChangePC.com. Please click on our News and Events tab, and you'll be able to see cybersecurity and a disturbed grid, a double-edged sword. You'll be able to Dr. Robert Walton with the dog team, they do an excellent job in what they do with providing weekly articles. State of Ohio lawmakers fine-tunes renewable energy mandates. This is coming out of Columbus, Ohio. Wind power poses a record year despite initial tax law concerns. You will be able to find that article. California utilities solar develop advocates for dialogue on new solar mandates for the state of California. The states of distributed solar updates. Now, this is a very, very interesting article. The energy production for renewable source continues to expand in the U.S. at a rapid clip, thanks in no small part by the substantial growth of the solar energy and the distributed solar in particular recent years. More states than ever are making solar a priority, but there have been gains than greatest. And what are the economic implications for residents from one state to the next? States with policies supporting larger productions and distributed energy from small-scale, often locally owned solar, giving their residents business big energy savings in their local economies and economic boosts, more so than when solar investments are left to be encumbered, offered investment owned by utilities. And that's just the point that I'm making about Pepco's ownership of these charging infrastructure stations here in the District of Columbia. An updated map of the size of each state solar market is in yellow, orange, and red. Pie charts show corresponding share distributed of 1 megawatt of the smaller illustrates how the state-by-state landscape has changed since the original the published article in 2016. So this is very, very detailed, and it goes on and it breaks down the southeast region of the country. Alabama, Florida, Georgia lacks luster growth because you don't have renewable portfolio standards. These are some of the southern states that I talk about. where you have a 45 to 50% of the African-American population residing in right now that don't have renewable portfolio standards. And if they do, they're very minimal. And even here in the District of Columbia, when it comes to solar, you're only talking about 5% in this 50% Renewable Energy Act. So we need to be looking at how you can raise the cap on solar energy in some of these marketplaces to create more opportunities for solar installation companies. But specifically, when we drill down and look at our African-American solar installation companies, we have to find a way to create more business opportunities and growth with our historically black colleges and universities, working on initiatives with our black solar installation companies to grow these companies so that they'll be able to hire more of our people in management positions that can learn these systems so that they can start their own companies. That's what this is about. As we say every week, this show is called Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And we work hard trying to bring news that you can definitely use every week here on this platform. And as I said, you can go and you'll be able to look at this article and you'll be able to find this under our News and Events tab. I think it's a very, very informative article and it's very, very detailed. Now, as we look at other articles and under our News and Events tab on our website, you'll be able to scroll down and you'll see South Carolina eyes expand net metering as Vermont cuts their rates. Solar has transformed into solar plus storage. What will net metering become? These are very, very interesting articles on storage. Howard University, Solar Farm Alternative, the Office of Provost, Associate Professor, Research Graduate Studies, Gary L. Harris, PhD. Howard University and the University of the District of Columbia has a campus located in Beltsville, Maryland. They have approximately 274 acres. And Howard and UDC needs to be getting real serious and busy about developing that land into a major commercial-sized solar farm. 274 acres of land sitting there doing nothing is a lot of land that can be used to create facility for the District of Columbia. And it can take a lot of pressure off of both Howard University and the University of District Columbia budgets, annual budgets. And they need to be looking at that alternative. But I don't speak for Howard University. Dr. Harris does. And we reached out to get him on our show a couple of weeks ago. We did a show on this, and we'll be reaching out to him again to get him back on the airways to talk about where this is at the present time. The Public Service Commission directs over $500,000 in unclaimed funds to help low-income Washington Gas and Light customers in the district with their light bills. Now, this is some information that I shared on Carl Nelson's show on the airways a couple of Fridays ago. They talked about the fact today the Public Service Commission of the District of Columbia, and this is dated April 18, 2018, so we're just 30 days down the road from that date. Public Service Commission of the District of Columbia ordered the Washington Gas Lighting Company to disperse $522,189 in unclaimed funds to the Area Fuel Fund and the Greater Washington Urban League. The funds will be used to benefit low-income residents, heating customers during the winter heating sessions months. In 2014, the commission opened an investigation into allegations that $2.4 million in unauthorized payment to competitive service providers that delivered natural gas suppliers. And you can get this information by logging on once again to our website at positivechangepc.com. Click on our News and Events tab and scroll down. Now, we're going to keep this moving because we want to sort of cover what we have posted in our May catalog on our news and events tab. You'll be able to see the Power of Local Green Jobs campaign. And this is for Pennsylvania's, the state of Pennsylvania. Events announcement, regional PACE workshop program for installers. I shared that information, some of that information we covered when we talked about the C-PACE program. And as I said, we'll be reaching out to Mr. Gerard Neely to bring him back on to talk about the C-PACE program. ABB launches what it says is the world's fastest electric vehicle charger. Now, if you're talking about electric charging stations, Terra High Power Charger can charge an electric vehicle in just 8 minutes, thus adding up to 200 kilometers of range for ABB, which launched a new model at this year's Hanover trade show. Now, you don't have to assume it is a Chinese company, okay? You have Angela Merkel, Mexican president, and when we get to talking about Chinese and imports, we know that 45 put a tariff on all solar-related equipment. But this is what the world is doing. They have come up with much more rapid charging stations, and I will be reaching out to this company to get someone to come on to talk about ABB launches what is said the world's fastest electric vehicle charger. We will be reaching out to bring someone on this show called Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Now, we go on, and you'll find that under our news and events tab. Utility monopolies keep their power by keeping elected officials in their pockets. It's time to fight back. And I had the privilege of having the public policy director for Neighborhoods United to come on the show. And he shared with our listening audience, since 1990, utility companies have given close to $250 million, $239,556,420 to federal politicians and hundreds of million dollars on lobbying and campaign donations to state-level campaigns. Can we say political election season? Primaries took place yesterday in Georgia, and the sister won the Democratic nomination for the government, to run for governor in the state of Georgia. Can we say Georgia on my mind? Go ahead, Ray Charles. But even Ray Charles can see this. If you spent $239 million since 1990, who is fooling who? Enough is enough. We can no longer tolerate our elected officials supporting utilities who deny us the rights. If you believe that monopoly utilities should not be able to buy and influence their way toward bad policies, that your elected representatives should be independent from private utilities, and that politicians should shape energy policy to benefit all ratepayers and the public interest, please urge your state representative to declare independence from signing on to representatives' use, not utilities, pledge. And they're going to take that pledge as quick as I turn white. The last time I checked, I was considered in America a Black man, an African American, of African descent. And I see the politicians signing on to this pledge as quick as I turn white. If you catch my drift, because we try to make it plain here on this show, that ain't going to happen. But our people need to jump on board, get educated about the issues, and start putting some pressure at the where? Correct place. It's called registered and vote. But you need to know what to register and vote on. So if you go to our website at positivechangepc.com and scroll down and click on our news and events link and scroll down, you'll get some information that will arm you and will tell you which way is up. And I ain't talking about the force of gravitational pull either. I'm talking about right here on Earth. So these issues are real that we're dealing with. And the money keeps flowing. You know, you got the so-called Democratic Party and the Republican Party. They're birds. The wings of the same bird. Okay? Young man told me one time, he said, well, the Democrats pimp the poor and the Republicans make you poor. So, poison. And that's what we have done as a race of people. But I happen to be registered as an independent and a member of the 1 million. And if you don't know what the 1 million group is, you need to ask somebody, okay? We are a group of people who have registered as independents in our states, and we come together under a common platforms. Now, this is being engineered by One in a Million, and you can go to their website, and I'm not necessarily doing a commercial advertisement for them, but in some kind of ways I am. But I think that our people need to register as independent, and we need to vote our interests, not the party, because I don't see a hell of a lot of difference in either one of them. But that's my humble opinion. But getting back to our website, under our news and events tab, you'll be able to log on, and you'll be able to scroll down. Under our news and events tab, you want to scroll down to a article that is entitled Solar Energy Equity and Health at the 2018 D.C. Solar Congress, which was held at the University of District of Columbia Dave Clark School of Law, and yours truly was a presenter on that particular platform panel. And I think that you'll be very, very pleased. You'll be able to listen to me make the presentation about equity. And I think you'll find that presentation very informative and educational, because as we say, we try to bring news that you can definitely use every week. New York agencies propose shifting EVs fast chargers to non-demand chargers. So as we can see, the electric vehicle issue with charging infrastructure is going on in every state in the union, and even in California. North Carolina approves solar rebate cash co-fine for Duke Energy. Exelon Fluke's closures with reserved JPM wind solar benefits in the Baffle report. You'll be able to find all of this information up on our website at positivechangepc.com. That's positivechangepc.com. And we want to thank you once again for joining us on the airways of this platform, Solar Now and the Future, with its economic impact on Black America. And until next week, we say go in peace.
Life is a song worth singing. I can tell. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change.
with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.